B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
They did what they needed to do, and sometimes that's all you need to do to win games. You know, the Patriots offense did what they needed to do, and that's all you need to do in a game like that. And every single time they control the ball, they let the defense do what they need to do, the special teams come through, that's how you win games.
Did you get all that? I said I wasn't going to mention Gronkowski anymore, and I'm not really, but oh, wow, did you see it? I made the mistake. Once again, they had Gronk on the desk after the game. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this. I'll be honest. I was in an airplane, so I was sort of trapped, okay? It was that window between the Patriots game and the Niners game, and I wasn't going to watch the Home Shopping Network or whatever, HGTV or whatever on the JetBlue thing. So fine, Gronk's on the desk. Maybe, just maybe, he could tell me how the Dallas Cowboys safety was cheating down on the running back because they don't have to cover the tight end, which is why the over formation to Edelman was open, and I could actually learn something because Gronk was just there like 5 minutes ago in the room, meaning just recently on the team and could give me some insight. Instead, that's what I got. Did you hear that post-game analysis?
They did what they needed to do.
And sometimes
the Patriots offense did what they needed to do.
They did what they needed to do. And that's something you have to do what you need to do. And that's what you need to do to win.
And that's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do. Sometimes you need to do what you need to do. And that's all you have to do. Like, oh, God, Jesus.
That's
they did what they needed to do.
Square peg, round hole.
No,
and
but
that's all you need to do.
You know what? But for that Fox crew, maybe that's it. Some sort of weird turtleneck and a weird haircut.
The Patriots offense did what they needed to do.
It's all they care about. They knew what they needed to do. They do what they needed to do. Sometimes you need to do what you need to do. And that's what you need to do to win.
I mean, it's kind of shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it?
That was the analysis. They did what they needed to do, and sometimes that's all you need to do. They did what they needed to do, and sometimes that's all you need to do. Those are words to live by right there. Put that on a T-shirt. That right there. Then, after I heard that, the game made perfect sense to me. I was a little confused before I heard that. Then Gronk enlightened me. Sometimes you need to do what you need to do, and that's all you need to do. That's it. Got it.
And that's all you need to do.
Thanks, Gronk. Could maybe just a sliver of inside knowledge? Just a little taste of something that you were there for 10 freaking years in the locker room every day. You just got out. You just got paroled. Okay, you're out now. You're out. You're not going to be called into the office. You're not going to be fined. You can give us a little something. Is he capable of it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have always felt that he was going to suck at this.
I don't expect every single one of these guys that retire to be Tony Romo, who almost breaks it down to a fault. It's like, well, you shut up. At some points, it becomes like it's just verbose. But that's ridiculous. That's nothing.
Oh, so I keep just thinking, because I said to you, I think he'd be a good game analyst. Put him in the booth during the game, and he could, but I don't know.
Because I think he's football smart, based on some of the stuff he said in the past.
I thought he was. I think he is. He played smart. He was a smart football player at his position. He didn't do dumb stuff. He wasn't a dumb guy on the field.
Fox doesn't want him to be that.
He doesn't.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Fox wants a clown show. They want all these guys to be clowns.
Yeah, they don't want him to be that. Don't want him to. I knew he would suck at this, though. He's just not right for it.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, the Bedard thing. Like, I've learned more talking to Murray about how James White isn't getting open because opponents don't have to worry about the tight end anymore. So the safety that would have been on the tight end is now on James White. Their defenses are comfortable covering Watson with the tight end or whoever the Patriots have out there at tight end with their linebackers. So a good coverage safety can now focus on White, which is why White has disappeared. There's some insight. There's some football. It's not too heavy X and O, but it's like, there you go. What the Gronk can't give me a little bit of that? I don't mean to spend too much time on the broadcasters, but that one stood out to me. I heard that and went, oh, God.
It's bad.
That right there is your DN Van Line. Move around the league, Rob Gronkowski, to Fox. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover. That's DN Van Lines, dnvanlines.com for your move around the league. Was that a good win, Maz, for the Patriots?
Sure, yes. I mean, I give them the credit for the win. It was bad conditions, good opponent. You're building. Like, you know, you're going to have to grind out wins like this now. I do, however, look at the game and say, sorry, that game was more about Dallas than it was about the Patriots. Dallas moved the ball. They moved it better than the Patriots did. Now, we can talk about field position and things of the like, but Dallas's complete ineptitude, bad coaching decisions, bad play calling, the whole nine yards. To me, that game was about the Cowboys. That game was about the Cowboys.
Hated it.
Who was better offense defense?
Dallas. Well, off. The better offense was Dallas.
Take out the kicking game. Who won just the pure, you know, if this were like backyard football,
Dallas.
and we don't kick off, we just, you know.
Dallas.
So Dallas did more against your defense than you did against theirs.
I think so. They moved the ball.
I mean, you're the better defensive team, but.
The one touchdown came as a result of his special teams play. So there was a block punt inside the 20. Now, look, the Patriots made a red zone play that they haven't done earlier in the year. So I give them credit for making that play. But they get the ball at the 18-yard line. They're getting 3 points there no matter what. Then their next three came from an interception thrown by the quarterback. And the other three that they got was after Dallas backed up with two penalties before a punt and lost 20 yards in field position. Okay, 20 yards in field position they lost in that sequence through nothing that the Patriots did. So I'm not sure. The Patriots might have earned 3 points in that game.
So first downs, Patriots 17, Cowboys 16. Yards. Cowboys 321, Patriots 282.
Patriots had 282 yards. I looked that up this morning.
Time of possession, Cowboys 30-22, Patriots 29-38. I agree they won the game on special teams. So does that mean Dallas was the better team up and down the field?
I mean, I think they were.
I mean, maybe you can make that case.
Now, look, when I say
marginally so.
Yeah, when I say the better team, I'm not telling you they would have won the game 27 to nothing. But I think they were a little bit better than you. Dallas didn't give you any points defensively in that game.
You guys were the same. I mean, you were 3 of 14 on third down. They were 2 of 13. Now, they came in as the best third down team in the league, crushing it on third down. They were like over 50% on third down, I think.
They were, and the Patriots are the best third down team on defense.
And you held them to 2 of 13. So, I mean, you did a job, but they did a job on you, too. You were only 3 of 15 on third down.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think it's okay to say up and down the field, the game was a draw or one team was slightly better. Dallas might have been slightly better. I think you can go back and forth. I think up and down the field, it was a draw. It was close. The kicking game is what turned it into. Patriots started to average their 41. Dallas started on their 21.
Yeah, no question. No question.
And that was the coaching.
I mean, which was the huge mismatch that we knew going into the game. I'm still blown away by that fourth down decision. Holy crap, on a day like that, you get down there, you get inside just outside the 10-yard line, I think it was, right? You get all the way down there. 6 minutes to go, you're down 7, and you take 3?
Yeah, and on the one hand, I'm with you. I was also surprised, but on the other, I'm not, because the calling card of Jason Garrett is being a stupid puss. So, like, that's of course he's going to settle for a field goal there.
And Maz, you made a good point about Jerry Jones, like the nerve. And even though he's right about special teams being all coaching, but just to go there and rip the coach when Jerry...
You keep him employed.
6 years ago, that's the last time they were here. I'm sorry, 8 years ago.
8 years ago, yeah. And they came in here.
He did roughly the exact same thing. He
ran the ball 3 times.
So he did the same thing. So you've employed the same guy who's been doing roughly the same thing for 8 straight years. So where's the problem? How long does it take you to figure out whether he's got, you know what he is?
I mean, you've got all these players. You know, you've got a quarterback now that you have to sign and that you're going to sign. You traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. You invested in Ezekiel Elliott. You have some great talent on the offensive line. You have some great talent on the defensive line and in your linebacking core. Van Der Esch didn't play that. Other guy, 54, Smith?
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He is good. Like, you've got all this talent all over the field. And you hand it over to a stooge? To a puppet? That's how you want to win? That makes zero sense to me. I'm sorry. That makes zero sense.
Well, no, but we discussed it last week. We know what it's about.
Well, right. It's about his ego.
So this is why, and just not to bring up this can of worms, but when you say Brady ego, like when I think ego, I think that. Like, I don't think Brady's ego has gotten debilitating to the point where Jerry Jones' ego quite literally, not figuratively, literally gets in the way of them being as good as they can be.
No question.
Okay, and I don't know if that happens here. You know, it doesn't to that degree. Like, Brady's got a little bit of ego, and it's creeping in here. That.
Oh, yeah, no. Different levels. Different levels. I mean, I would never mention Brady in the same breath as this guy. Never in a million years. I'm not sure anybody in the Patriots has the ego that guy has.
Or in the league. Snyder, right? But it's the same.
Oh, God, it's idiotic. But you have all this talent and all this money, all these draft picks invested in that team, and you hand it over to Jason Garrett, who comes in here and doesn't know that you have to go for the touchdown on a day where you can't pass and you get inside the 10-yard line? What are you, an idiot?
Okay, so those are a reset Patriots Cowboy thoughts. What are yours? To your calls right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Head high snap to Jones. Under center, it's blocked. Yeah. Leaves high in the air. Jonathan Jones is there to knock it down. Trying to pick it up. He'll dive on it. Jones has it for the Patriots at the 13-yard line. The ball squirted free. And regardless, the Patriots will have possession. Jones was on it on the turf at the 13. The ball came loose in the end, but the Patriots take over nonetheless after another block punt.
All right, once again, block punt, key to the game. Nothing wrong with that.
Three block punts this year, right?
Yeah.
Three block punts, that's right.
And that's pretty good. I'll tell you, and on that play, like, there's a lot of block punts you look at and you say, all right, fine. Like,
yeah, the one
that
against,
was a good play by Slater.
What was the one in, was it Miami where they didn't, or the Jets? It was the Jets that didn't block you, right? You brought the extra man down and they just snapped
correct.
It, right?
Correct. Idiots.
So,
like, but this was a good play by Slater, sticking his hand out.
What's amazing is you could tell Dallas knew something was up, but they still didn't know what to do about it. So the Patriots don't have a back guy on that the thing in the second half. They don't have anyone back there to receive it. At one point, they brought the vice guy who's supposed to block the gunner. They bring the vice guy down. Dallas takes a delay of game because, like, time runs out. And then they take an illegal motion on the next one. They knew something was up, but they didn't know what to do about it.
I mean, clueless.
And it's really not that complicated.
Clueless. Really. Again, and when they bring the guy in, would you call him the vice guy?
I think he's the vice.
Okay. Throw to the guy who's out there.
Right.
That's the play.
That is the play.
If they're going to leave him uncovered, throw to him and pick up 10 yards and get the first down.
You could tell that Burkhead wasn't back, but I think it was Burkhead there who sort of shaded to that. They showed one overhead view. So it's just simple sort of dinking around with your punt coverage, with your punt return team. Bring the vice down here. We'll bring up our up guy. We'll shade him off. You know, just little subtle little things. And Dallas is like, we don't know what to do.
Oh, they were clueless, really. They were so clueless. It was unbelievable.
Okay, back to your phones here, as promised. Patrick in Acton. Go ahead, Patrick. Pat! Patrick, you can call us back. You know the number. Anthony, how you doing?
How you doing, Michael? You guys said it. It's the freaking coaching. I mean, the game, like Matt said, it was close. You said 282 for the Patriots net odds and 321 for Dallas. I mean, it's too bad it's Jerry Jones' ego because he's got that knucklehead Jason Garrett. He can't draft. He can't identify talent, Jerry Jones. Like he mentioned Jaylen Brown. They drafted him and they knew he was going to be out a year out of Notre Dame. I like Belichick. He's got a lot of busts, but he signs on drafted free agents. They hit on their first, second, third round picks, you know? Look at Prescott.
Yeah, they've done, I'm going to cut you off, Anthony. Dallas has done a decent job drafting.
No, they've got players. Again, they got two terrific defensive linemen, for crying out loud. They're linebackers.
And you're not even including Michael Bennett there.
Right. I'm not including Bennett. I'm talking about DeMarcus Lawrence and Quinn. You know, they got two good defensive linemen. They got good linebackers. They got a great offensive line, a functional quarterback, good weapons in the passing game.
Oh, that quarterback's more than functional.
Okay, so, you know, he's having a good year now. So they have a good quarterback. I'll give you good. I don't know if he's great, but he's good.
And between...
what are they, 6-5?
Cooper, Gallup,
yeah, 6-5, yeah.
Cobb, Witten.
Plenty of weapons.
Plenty!
Plenty of weapons. Even the backup running back, the third down back, Pollard.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. They got plenty there. 6-5. And in a bad division?
Stupid, underachieving team is what they are.
Oh, really, though? That's the worst. I hate teams like that. That's the worst of the worst.
617-779-0985. Brandon in Boston, quickly.
Hey. Hello?
Okay, Brandon, you can call us back. You know the number. Folks ready to go here? Come on. Bill in Rhode Island. Hi, Bill.
Yes. So it takes every 8 years we get the opportunity to come to New England and finally beat them. And I had my hopes up yesterday. But I knew the wild card was going to be Garrett because 8 years ago when we had the lead, you guys mentioned it, we ran the ball three times while you got three timeouts. Brady gets the ball back. 22 seconds left, throws a touchdown to Hernandez. So it's like, you know what you've got for a coach here. He's the one thing that's screwing this up. But Jerry cannot handle his ego not being prime time. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. And as a Cowboys fan, I'm just done with it.
Okay. It is amazing. The game came down to exactly what everyone thought was going to... I mean, everyone said the talent on both teams is not a huge gap, whether it's one side or the other. They're close in talent, but the coaching gap is massive.
Huge.
And that's what came up in that game.
Absolutely.
Because up and down the field, they were relatively even.
I mean, there's really no other way around it. The coaching gap is really what decided the game. It was massive.
And it showed up most in the kicking game.
It just blows me away that Jerry Jones can't control his ego enough to go get a coach. Like, he can't back up at all. And that, if name me another owner, or for that matter, GM in the league that waits outside the locker room every game to talk to the media. Name me one.
And he also does, I think he does a weekly radio spot.
He does.
He does.
Like a coach and a quarterback would.
I mean, so really, like, name me one owner or GM in the league other than Jerry Jones that does it.
I don't know.
It doesn't exist. It goes to tell you what the real problem is. And I'm not telling you that you should pattern anything after the way the Cincinnati Bengals do it, for crying out loud. But when you really weigh it out, which team is the team you should really shake your head at? The Bengals, who suck, or the Cowboys, who have all the talent in the world?
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals don't even care.
But that's my point.
Jerry cares. He just can't get out of the way.
It's unbelievable that he's unable to recognize the magnitude of his own ego and the problems it causes. Unbelievable.
Paul in Rhode Island is back. Go, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Let me just start by saying, Jerry has to stop opening his wallet for the wrong things. He's paying players and not a coach. The next thing I'm going to say is about, hardship builds character. You are right, Melga. The Harry has to catch many balls and also to build character. So Brady cannot be afraid to throw this ball to this kid. I mean, and others, Lacoste and others. You have to build character, even though the weather didn't help.
Okay, Paul, I'm just going to stop you right there.
Yeah, Melger.
What did he call me?
Melga.
Melga. Melga and Faz.
Yeah. I'm not good with names either, so what are you going to do? Keep throwing to Harry. Keep him on the hook. Keep saying nice things about him, whether you mean it or not. Keep saying nice things about Jacoby Myers, whether you mean it or not. Keep throwing to those kids. They will be there for you. They're going to catch the next one, whether it's or the next or the one after that.
You are right, Melga.
Okay, they're gonna scheme it open, and don't give up on those kids. Yeah, they'll be there for you. And I think so, Murray. You think Brady was still sort of lukewarm with those guys after the game?
Yeah, because it's the last answer that he gave. He was very quick again with his post-game press conference, and he's got this big setup on N'Keal Harry and the touchdown grab, and it was very lukewarm. I mean, it was softball right down the middle, and he could have pumped it up a little bit.
Billy, let's hear that again. Brady on N'Keal Harry and the touchdown catch, if you could, please.
And he could have given this big glowing answer, like, yeah, no, it's good, the Rook's coming along, or something to that effect. It was like, yeah, he's great. We need more.
I actually texted Gasper after that one.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Let's hear it.
How much did it mean to have a play where it was basically just a jump ball, back shoulder throw, the sort of thing we haven't seen in a while, and see N'Keal come up with that and really the only touchdown of the game?
He made a great catch. That was a great play. And that was awesome. That's what we need.
Great catch. That's what we need. I got to go, guys.
What was your text to Gasper?
So right after the touchdown catch, because Gasper again told us that certain guys in practice, like N'Keal Harry, don't catch the ball. So after the touchdown, I texted Gasper.
You gave him a blind.
4:58 p.m. Tell your friend number 12 to just throw the effing ball. Looks to me like the kid caught that one.
Did he text you back when Harry dropped that ball on the sidelines?
No, I then texted him and said, never mind.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, when Brady hits the pillow last night, is he thinking about N'Keal Harry's touchdown catch or the drop on the sidelines?
The drops.
The drops.
When he thinks about Jacoby Myers, is he thinking about like that 30-yard gain coming across the middle where he shook off the tackle and went down the left sidelines?
It's a good play.
Or is he thinking about the drop on the seam when he got nailed by the safety?
The drop on the seam. He's got less to bitch about with Myers than he does with Harry.
Come on.
That one on the sideline that Murray was talking about, that Harry dropped, the one that hit him right in the chest.
Got to have it.
I mean, that's a layup. That's a layup. That's an automatic play in the NFL.
Great ball by Brady.
It was a terrific ball. I thought the one down by the pylon was even better. And it was a tougher catch for Harry, but that's why he's here. You got to make those catches. Okay. That was a great throw.
But there's the deal, Tommy. He knows this, but they're not going to catch them all to begin with. They're going to have some growing pains, and you're going to have to just work with them. You know, they want you to soar with eagles, but they make you work with a bunch of turkeys. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Just, you know, keep going to them. They're going to make those plays, and they're going to get open, okay? They're going to get schemed open. You'll get them open. You'll throw them open. Josh McDaniels will get them open. They were open yesterday. They just didn't hang on to all of them. But those plays are going to be there. All right, here comes Murray's update, and we are back with more.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Third and a long two. High snap off the hand of Prescott. Gathers it in, sidearms to the near side. Intercepted by Brandon Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice chuck.
Picked off by Gilmore in front of Cooper at the Cowboy 29.
A sad, pathetic throw by Prescott.
Great pick by Stephon Gilmore. And that was it. We just played the last two plays. We played you.
He was the best player on the field yesterday, I thought.
Nice. Block punt, 7 points. Interception, 3 points, 10-0. That was it. That was pretty much all you needed.
Gilmore almost had another pick in the end zone, too.
He sure did. So that's all you needed in that ball game. Defense, special teams, that's how you're winning. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? I mean, we asked this like the first month of the season. We said they're going to win in different ways this year. Can you handle it? Can we all handle it? And it's odd that the guy that's having the hardest problem with it is the quarterback. I think people are more, and not that people totally are, because we still get the Antonio Brown. If you call out Antonio Brown, you're just not okay winning on defense and special teams.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't get it. You're not comfortable with it. You don't like it. You don't think it's sustainable. And maybe you'll be right. I don't know. But it's just odd that the quarterback might be in that camp as well.
Oh, totally. Look, I mean, and you know, the irony is he now, in theory, has to do a lot less than he's ever had to do before. You know, as he's getting to his age, you would think in a lot of ways it makes it better for him, but he still wants to, you know, whip it around, be sort of the force that drives the whole boat, which I get. But, man, I'll tell you, if it's going to be one way or the other, I think this way's got a better chance of winning than the other way, which is being a high-flying air show. Those high-flying air show teams, they don't win.
Yours didn't.
They usually lose. They usually lose in the end. You have to be able to play some representative level of championship or opportunistic defense to be able to win.
Right. When you became that, my old line is you tried to become the Indianapolis Colts, and the bad news is you succeeded. Like, that team usually, that type of team usually has a ceiling, and you found it. You found it a couple different times. Not just 07, but when you were that team, you know, you were great teams, great runs, but it's not like this.
No, and then again, Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdown passes 1 year, got into the Super Bowl, and got pantsed by the Seahawks. Pantsed. They got absolutely freaking obliterated in that game. And I think that that's typically what happens to those teams.
But that interception was right in the middle of a sequence where Dallas started futzing around with the ball. Like on every other play, this is how that went. Okay, so let's just dial it back 1 minute from that Gilmore interception. Block punt. Okay, block punt. 2 plays later, Pat score. On the ensuing kickoff, the guy muffs the kick.
Yep.
Rolls around on the ground. He recovers it on the Dallas 17. First play from scrimmage. They hit Jarwin over the middle. He fumbles it. He recovers it. So now on 3 of 4 plays, you've mishandled the ball. Elliott Gaines Nothing on the next play. Then there's the interception where it wasn't just the interception, but the snap was high and Prescott dropped the snap.
Right.
Then you kick a field goal three plays later. Then on the ensuing kickoff, another muff. So it's like you had, in the span of, just call it eight plays, eyeballing it, eight, nine plays, you mishandled the ball nine or five different times. The punt, the muffed kickoff, the fumbled reception by Jarwin, the mishandled snap by Prescott, the interception to Gilmore, then the ensuing muffed six. You mishandled the ball six times in nine plays.
I mean, it was over and over, really. The Patriots dropped some passes, but they didn't turn the ball over. Right? Big difference.
So, and neither did Dallas necessarily, but they just weren't prepared for those conditions. And they're a dome team. They're a Texas team. Like, I get it kind of to a point. But you figure they actually should be built for that kind of game.
You would think, because, again, they get a power offensive line and a power back. Not that Ezekiel Elliott's purely, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust or whatever. But, I mean, they are. I thought they got away from it. I thought that they were better off doing that. And that, honestly, I'm not sure the Patriots would have been able to stop them. Because I think they were guaranteed three, probably more than four, every time they ran.
Okay, back to your phones. Here's Jefferson in Foxborough on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Hey, what's up, Melgas?
What's up?
So, Rob Gronkowski, I love the guy. He did so much for the organization, but he needs to go somewhere, okay? He's just been a pestering... Anywho, another point is that he actually did criticize the Patriots. I heard in an earlier show that he was saying that that's not a way you're supposed to act when you were 9-1, 10-1. So, Murray, if you could look into that and show them that. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry, I got a bow.
All right. So, I'm not looking. I don't need Gronkowski to rip the team. I don't. But just some insight.
Right. Tell me something I don't know. How about, tell me, you know, how about form a sentence and tell me something I don't know.
Like, I don't even need that. He was a smart football player, and he was just in the room. He was just inside for 10 straight years. So, like, that's what I want conveyed.
Yeah, they don't want him to be that.
And they don't want him to be that. They want him to be some circus.
Yeah, they want to be funny and goofy.
Yeah, they want the frat party. That's what they want. They want the frat party.
Let's go to Jimmy in Duxbury. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. I mean, Jason Garrett is only there on the Cowboys right now is because Jerry Jones knows that he's dumber than Jerry. He's not going to argue with Jerry Jones about any of these moves. And going off last night's game, Murray, Jimmy G looked pretty good.
Yeah, you want to do 30 seconds on the Niners there, Murray?
Defense looks ridiculous, and it was seemingly a jailbreak on Aaron Rodgers all night long. So the defense is carrying the San Francisco 49ers. A good night for Garoppolo. He looked good. George Kittle is what makes that offensive engine run in San Francisco. You would notice that if you watched last night's game. Garoppolo is just doing enough, so good for him.
I mean, Kittle is the difference for Garoppolo. When Garoppolo has him, he looks like a different quarterback. So, and honestly, look, as much as I love Garoppolo, I'm not going to rub it in anybody's face. That game was the defense last night. They were awesome. They absolutely manhandled the Packers up front.
So when it comes to Garoppolo, some of us can be fair.
Yeah.
Some of us can be fair.
I am being fair. I just said nice things about him. And his night, he was good.
I'll tell you, though, it was the kind of game that does open your eyes a little bit about San Francisco. If someone's got to go in, if San Francisco can get through this stretch and somehow keep the number one seed, they're going to be tough to beat in that building. They are going to be hard to beat there. They are, that defense feeds on that environment. Every time I see that defense play at home, they look vicious.
So the Packers were part of the stretch, and they blew doors. They have to go to Baltimore, to New Orleans next 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, they're nowhere near through it. So they get a long way to go.
To Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, they get a long way to go to get through it.
I still like Seattle there.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Again, Seattle went into Philly yesterday and won. And, you know, and it feels like the Seattle defense is improving. Like, they're getting better. Early in the year, I didn't think the defense was very good, and they were just winning with Wilson alone. Really, now I feel like they're becoming a more balanced team. I still think, though, that talent-wise, I think the Niners are better. I think the Niners are better than the Seahawks. Seahawks got him a quarterback, though, and the Seahawks might have him a coach.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll get back to some of those controversial calls in that ball game yesterday as well, so don't go anywhere. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's 10-yard hold. Third and one. I really thought they'd just come out and run the football and pick it up.
Trubisky offense, number 72, 10-yard penalty, third down.
They get the center, Travis Frederick. That's the second tripping call against the Cowboys in this game. And that could be a killer. I don't like that call anymore. I like the other one they had for tripping. I didn't see anything there. I don't know about you, Mike, but it looked like a bad call to me.
Your thoughts on the officiating, Maz, and those tripping calls against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I thought they were horrendous. I thought the Patriots got good breaks there. I didn't see either one. I mean, on the first one, its leg comes off the ground, and I suppose you could think of it as a trip. I thought the Hightower was going down before that, and on the other one, I didn't see it at all. I mean, I think the Patriots caught a huge break on the second one.
Yeah, the second one, it seemed non-existent. Maybe there's something there deeper in the letter of the law that shows it doesn't necessarily have to be like a swipe of the leg. I don't know. But that looked dubious at best.
I mean, the tripping call typically in that league is blatant.
You trip him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can see it. The guy sticks his leg out and the guy trips. Like, it's blatant. There's no gray area. These, to me, I just didn't see it.
Well, it led to something very rare, Billy. Aikman arguing with Pereira. So Mike Pereira came on, actually defended that second tripping call. And that led to an argument. Like, I've never seen the color guy disagree with the ref analyst like this.
Mike, I have to ask you about that tripping call against Travis Frederick. That'll go down as the biggest call here in this game.
Well, to me now, this one is different than the first one they called. To me, he does lift his leg here, and it does make contact, which causes the defender to stumble. This one, it's a tough one, but when you lift your leg he did.
He's blocking, Mike.
Well, I get the guy
bull rushing him. I
get that he's blocking, but still, to me, he extends his leg.
So Aikman, you know, disagrees with Pereira in the booth. You don't hear that every day. That call was so bad. Even Zoe ripped the call. Give me the Zoe on the second tripping, Billy.
Tripping. Offense. Number 72.
Second time today.
10-yard penalty. Third down.
He wasn't held, but he was tripped for a second time. Frederick, the center. Four-time Pro Bowler. The guilty party. I don't know about that.
I don't see it. What are they looking at? They've called two tripping calls against Dallas that aren't there. Hey, get a call like you see it.
If the Patriots can take advantage of the break with a third down and 11, 1:53 to go from the Dallas 25. Cowboys have all three timeouts remaining.
Bogus.
So if they don't convert here,
I'll take it.
Good job, Zoe. Called them right out. Good. Excellent. Renew my faith there a little bit. The thing about the first tripping didn't really influence the game. It was, I think, the Cowboys' second or third drive of the game. They were in a second and 13, and that put them in second and 23. The drive probably wasn't going anywhere anyway. Okay, so fine. But the two calls that were really impactful was the hold on Tyron Smith, which was borderline. May have hooked him, maybe not. I think that's a call that's been called holding in the first month of the season with the emphasis on it, maybe more routinely than we've seen recently. We've seen them hold their flag on that hold. Sort of a half thing.
You're talking about the end of the third quarter, that hold?
End of the third quarter, yeah. Third and three. This is when Cooper caught that crosser over the middle that gained 15 yards. Late third quarter, 10-6 ball game. Dallas with the ball. They have a third and three at the 50. Cooper gains 15 yards on that crosser. They would have first and 10 at the 35. End of the third quarter, down 4 points.
It killed all the offensive momentum. I thought it was one of the five biggest plays of the game.
Absolutely. That was a huge penalty.
And it was borderline. First month they were calling that. Since then, they've really sort of tailed off on calling it that close. So that was a bad break for the Cowboys. The second trip was just an out-and-out disastrous call. That's a joke. Third and one. Elliott picks it up on a short little pass, but they call the center for that non-existent trip. They bring it back, third and 11 incomplete, fourth and 11. That was the Cooper drop, and that's the ball game. Huge, huge call.
Massive. Yeah, massive. Again, I was just double-checking because it's been called. That call has been made all year seven times.
The
tripping.
Okay, including the two on Sunday?
Including two on Sunday. So up today right now, seven.
So before the game yesterday, only five had been called across the entire league, the entire slate. 12 weeks, 32 teams, five calls.
Where these a-holes want to throw a flag on seemingly every play. So they weren't calling it. So that led me to believe, and I, you know, you thought the same thing, Maz. Like, Belichick must have said something ahead of the game.
Well,
like,
so that,
for something.
That's what I thought. I wonder if Bill, you know, somehow said to the officiating crew, hey, look, I was looking at the film, and I think that these guys trip a lot. You know, keep an eye out for it. Just watch it. It's subtle, but I think they do it. Otherwise, how do you explain that? It gets called five times all year until yesterday. Five times. And you get it twice in the same game?
And they were borderline. It's not like they were even blatant.
I mean, and Mike, we're talking about some of the calls that have been made that are on a similar level. Illegal touch kick. Seven times it's been called a year. Do you even know what that is?
Sure. It's when it's like...
guy comes from inbounds and touches a ball and a kick.
Maybe that's one. There's something else I'm thinking of. Like... And I can't even think of it right now. I'm sorry.
So, but they're just, you know, they're
they call an illegal touch when the wrong team downs it or the wrong, it's and I'm doing a horrible job right here, but it's a fancy name for something that happens all the time. They call it an illegal touch. Like when a quarterback throws it and drills it into his offensive lineman, they call that illegal touching.
Okay.
Okay. As opposed to ineligible man or whatever. So it's like one of those, I think.
Okay. So this one is illegal touch kick. That has happened seven times this year. Offside on a free kick, seven times this year. First of all, you never have free kicks. Okay. So it just tells you how rare this call is. That's all I'm trying to illustrate. The rarity of this call, you get it twice in the same game. I mean, like, I look at that and go, guys, what are we doing?
So score one for Bill. And like, again, I'll say the first one, if that's Bill influencing him, okay, that happens. And if Dallas has been doing it, been getting away with it, okay. 2 minutes left in the ballgame. 4-point game. Huge game. This has been the most watched National Football League game since 2007, which has to be since Patriots-Giants the last week of the year.
That would be my guess, too. Yeah.
Right, that's got to be that because it was on three networks as well and all of that. So this was the most watched regular season game since that Patriots-Giants 16-0 game. And you're going to call that trip on the center with 2 minutes left in the ballgame. And not that it's the ref's job to keep track of the ratings. I'm just saying, that's a pretty big spot to be calling a ticky-tack foul like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it's a lousy call. And that's the other thing is really if you say, well, you know what, if he tripped him, he tripped him. I feel like they kind of invented them a little bit.
And then Brady is going to cry about that extra second after the game? You hear that?
It was still up in there when they stopped the clock. So, I don't know. Everyone who says Patriot gets advantages will know about that.
Oh, God.
Seriously.
Now no. We got to do this.
I mean, I heard that one after the game, and I went, come on.
Talk about playing to your baby base.
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Like, all of a sudden, the Patriots are now persecuted. You know,
they just can't catch a break, Maz. I don't know if you've noticed over the years, they just can't get a break.
So you raise a good point. If that is Bill, if that's Bill saying, hey, look, I saw this on, you know, film and just keep an eye out for it. And the officials took the cheese. Then again, Bill should get credit for that
in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fourth quarter game on the line.
Yeah, I just don't know how you make that call.
I mean, what are you doing?
I mean, really, that's garbage. Tripping for crying out loud.
2 minutes.
I don't know if the Bruins have been called for tripping twice in the game this
God,
year.
God, brutal. Okay, your thoughts on everything from the game right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.